Thank you, Steve, for giving us that reading from the scripture there from Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you, Mike, for leading us in prayer a few moments ago. And thank you, David, for leading us in that very uplifting, encouraging hymn, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. And may our plea always be, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. We do have visitors among us again tonight. We are delighted that you've chosen to come our way. You are our honored guest, and we hope that you will be encouraged and that you'll return during each and every opportunity that you may have. At this time, I'd like to encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our study this evening titled, We Are Fellows. And did you know that the Bible often refers to Christians, that is, those who are in Christ, as being fellows? Did you know that? You see, the Bible does often refer to as Christians as being fellows. And it's important to note that the word fellow simply denotes a person in the same position, involved in the same activity, or otherwise associated with another. You see, brethren, as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, we are fellows. We are associated with one another through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And since the Bible uses the word fellow to describe the association in which we as Christians share, let's take a few moments this afternoon to be reminded of the fact that as children of God, we are fellows. And I begin by informing you that as children of God, we, you and I, are fellow servants. You see, the inspired Apostle Paul, he recognized that his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ were fellow servants. We can learn about this there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. And there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul referred to Epaphras as a fellow servant. Notice with me, if you will, there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7, as Paul was writing to the saints in Colossae, he says, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Not only did the Apostle Paul refer to Epaphras as a fellow servant in his epistle to the saints in Colossae, but he also referred to Tychicus as a fellow servant there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. When he also writing to the saints in Colossae penned, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Here we have two examples in the letter that Paul sent to the saints in Colossae in regard to referring to two men, two brothers in Christ, as being fellow servants. It's important to note that a fellow servant is simply one who serves the same master together. And just as the Apostle Paul acknowledged Epaphras and Tychicus as being fellow servants, you and I, brethren, are likewise fellow servants. You and I also serve the same master together. That master being our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the Bible also talks about children of God as being fellow soldiers. Not only are you and I fellow servants serving the same master together, but we are also fellow soldiers. We can learn about this there in Philippians chapter 2 and in verse number 25. And there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, Paul, in reference to Epaphroditus, informed that he was a fellow soldier. Notice with me, if you will, there in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, the words penned by the Apostle Paul, he, in writing to the church in Philippi, he said, yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, now watch it, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need. Here we learn that Paul recognized that Epaphroditus was his fellow soldier. Not only did he refer to Epaphroditus as being a fellow soldier, but we also see in Philemon, in verse 2 there in Philemon, that he also referred to another fellow brother as being a fellow soldier. Now it's important to note, when we refer to one as being a fellow soldier, it's in relation to one who is an associate in conflicts for the same cause. And when Paul is writing and referring to these brothers in Christ as being fellow soldiers, he's simply referring to them as being associates in conflicts for the same cause. They were his fellow soldiers in the defense of the gospel. And brethren, you and I are likewise fellow soldiers. We are fellow soldiers, and we likewise are associates in conflict for the same cause. But the Bible also speaks of Christians as being fellow workers. Again, as we talked about a few moments ago there from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, not only did the Apostle Paul describe Epaphroditus as being a fellow soldier, but he also described him as being a fellow worker. We learn there in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, Paul mentions many fellow workers here in relation to those many who were his fellow workers for the kingdom of God in verses 7 through 11. But I want us to notice here in verse number 11 of Colossians chapter 4, as Paul had mentioned many of those fellow workers, he says, "These are my fellow workers." Why, Paul? He says, "For the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me." I want you to think about that for a moment. Here Paul gives us a list of some fellow workers for the kingdom of God, whom he described as being a comfort to him. You see, it's important to note that when a fellow worker is described, they are one who is a companion in work. They are a fellow worker. And here Paul is describing some fellow workers, some who were companions in his work as he labored for the kingdom of God. And Paul informs that those fellow workers, which he mentioned here in Colossians chapter 4, were a great comfort to him. You see, brethren, you and I are likewise fellow workers in the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that as we are companions in labor in the kingdom of God, that we too can prove to be a great comfort to one another as we labor in the kingdom of God together. But the Bible not only talks about Christians as being fellow workers, but they also talk about them as being fellow laborers. We learn there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3, in the context there in Philippians chapter 4, Paul speaks of two Christian ladies. You know who those two Christian ladies that Paul speaks of there in Philippians 4? He speaks of Euodia and Syntyche. And he describes them as being those who labored with him in the gospel. Simply put, Paul is speaking of these two fellow sisters as being his fellow laborers in the gospel. We go on to see there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, as Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, He informed them that he sent Timothy to them. He said that he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Not only did the Apostle Paul refer to Timothy as being a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, but he also referred to Philemon as being a fellow laborer in the gospel, as we see there in Philemon and in verse 1. And he goes on to mention four others there in that letter to Philemon as being fellow laborers in the gospel. Two of those four being, two notable ones being Mark and Luke, as we see there in verse 24 of Philemon. And it's important to note, brethren, that just as Paul referred to as Euodian, Cynthia, and Timothy, and Philemon, and Luke, and Mark, as being fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ, that you and I are likewise fellow laborers in the gospel of Christ. You and I are also a companion in labor for the same cause. We are simply co-laborers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only does the Bible talk about Christians as being fellow servants, soldiers, workers, and laborers, but it also describes Christians as being fellow helpers. We can learn about this there in John's third epistle. And there in 3 John and in verse 8, in the context there, John is writing this epistle to Gaius. And Gaius was such an encouragement to John and to many others. As we read that epistle that John addressed to Gaius, one of the things that John was complimented him upon was his receiving of strangers and his generosity to those strangers. And we learn there in verse 8, as John pointed out, how we ought to be fellow helpers and workers for the truth. John commended Gaius for being a fellow helper, as the Old King James reads, or a fellow worker for the truth, as the New King James reads. And we need to understand, again, the fact that we are fellow helpers. We are co-helpers or co-laborers, a companion in work for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just as Gaius set a good example for being one who exemplified being a fellow helper, may we likewise seek to do the same. But it's also important to note that the Bible refers to Christians as being fellow citizens. You see, we understand that a citizen is an inhabitant of a particular town or city or country. We recognize that as citizens of the United States of America, that we are inhabitants, we are citizens of the United States of America. But I think it's important to note that the Bible refers to God's people as being fellow citizens. Fellow citizens of something much greater than the United States of America. We can learn about this there in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19. And here the apostle, addressing those first century Christians, he noted, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners." You're no longer strangers and foreigners, Paul said. But you are now what? Well, notice, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. You see that, brethren? You and I, as children of God, are fellow citizens and members of the household of God. And what greater household to be a member of than that of the household of God? And it is because of that that we recognize, as we often sing, that this world is not our home. We are strangers just a passing through. We can say that because we recognize that as children of God, this world is not our home, but our citizenship is in heaven. We learn about that there in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 20. And we need to understand, brethren, the need to keep on keeping on. The need to continue to be faithful in our service to the Lord, knowing that by doing so, we will obtain eternal citizenship in heaven. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that the Bible also refers to us as being fellow heirs. Are you aware of that, brethren? Are you aware of the fact that as children of God, that you and I are fellow heirs? You see, again, Paul made this very clear there to the saints in Ephesus, as we see there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. And he informed there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6 how it has been revealed that even the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of God's promise in Christ through the gospel. Guess what? That includes us. That includes you and I. And as children of God, we are fellow heirs. It's important to note that an heir is simply a person who is legally entitled to collect an inheritance. And when the Bible talks about the inheritance of the children of God, it talks about an inheritance like no other. You want to know what that inheritance is that the Bible talks about for the child of God? It's an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, which never fades away, reserved in heaven. We learn about that there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 Peter chapter 1. And here in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 3, Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now watch verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Hold on to those encouraging words of Peter, my beloved brethren. Understand that as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are fellow servants. We are fellow soldiers. We are fellow workers, fellow laborers, fellow helpers, fellow citizens, and we are fellow heirs. Heirs to an inheritance that is described as being incorruptible and undefiled, which will never fade away, reserved in heaven. Once more, my beloved brethren, we are fellows. I now ask the question, what about you? Can you honestly say that you are a fellow servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say that you contend earnestly for the faith? that you labor hard in the kingdom of God? Can you, without a doubt, have confidence that you will someday obtain eternal citizenship in heaven, and that you will be a fellow heir of an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, that will never fade away in heaven? Can you honestly say that? Can you? If you are in Christ, you can have that confidence. But if not, as of right now, you don't have that confidence. But you too can have that confidence, that blessed assurance of an inheritance, a citizenship in heaven. For if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. You can put off that old man of sin and be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have that confidence, that assurance of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and in verse 2. Maybe there's one here this evening who wants to submit their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've been unfaithful. Maybe you've turned your back on the Lord. You've laid your sword down. You're encouraged to once again return to faithful service to the Lord. You're encouraged to repent, confess your sins to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow road that leads to life this very hour. And remember again, as we talked about this morning, we talked about that Christian liberty. We talked about being set free in Christ. Understand that that liberty, that freedom that we have in Christ, did not come without a price. Christ gave His life blood for you and I. He shed His blood, gave His life, so that we can have the remission of our sins, so that we can have that hope of an eternal home in heaven. And if there would be one here this evening who is subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, we plead with you to respond now while we stand and sing the song that David has selected.